Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 11 from the National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training. We are going over the PowerPoint for Chapter 11, or the Plyometric Training Concepts chapter. So looking at the PowerPoint on your screen, let's look at slide 1. Just to intro, it's Chapter 11, Plyometric or Reactive Training Concepts. And a lot of people in the industry can refer to plyometric training as reactive training, but typically you'll hear it called plyometric training. So let's go ahead and look over at slide 2. After this presentation, the participant will be able to define plyometric or reactive training and describe its uses, discuss the importance of plyometric training, design a plyometric training program for clients in any level of training, and perform and instruct various plyometric training exercises. So let's go ahead and click over to slide 3. So concepts in plyometric training. Enhanced performance during functional activities emphasizes the ability of the muscles to exert maximal force output in a minimal amount of time, otherwise known as rate of force production. And rate of force production, NASM uses to describe power. And plyometric training is directly related to powerful movements. And specifically, as we click over to slide 4, we're looking at plyometric training being a quick, powerful movement involving an eccentric muscle action followed immediately by an explosive concentric contraction. So when I think of plyometric training, I think of preloading a movement in order to utilize the stretch of a muscle to project that movement faster or higher or more powerfully. And a lot of times whenever you're at the gym and you start doing repetitions relatively fast, and you kind of almost utilize the stretch of a muscle. For instance, at the bottom of a bench press, not too often do people pause at the bottom of a bench press. If you were to pause, you would be able to eliminate all the plyometric or stretch of that muscle and then utilize just the muscle to press it, your barbell back up. But a lot of people, what they do is they'll come quick down on a barbell bench press and then they'll quickly engage and almost get like a bounce, even if they don't touch their chest, almost get like a bounce at the bottom of their repetition, causing a little extra boost in force production due to the fact that the pec muscle is going to be stretching and like a rubber band kind of bouncing back up or providing a little bit more force back up in that upward or shortening position. So to kind of read this slide or slide number 4, plyometric training provides the ability to train specific movement patterns in a biomechanically correct manner at a more functionally appropriate speed. For instance, in athletics, when you utilize the stretch shortening of muscles, you're going to be a quicker, faster, more powerful athlete. For instance, cutting on an open field, you use a lot of stretch of the muscles or a lot of plyometric reactivity in order to project yourself in the opposite directions. As a running back, you're never going to run straight in one direction, pause, and then head to another direction. You're going to be cutting and utilizing the eccentric force reduction of muscles followed by a concentric force production, or a lessening of your speed and then a quick projection in another direction. So to read that final bullet point, success in most functional activities depends on the speed at which muscular force is generated. And that's going to be an important thing to note right there, is that success in most functional activities depends on the speed at which muscular force is generated. So looking at that little picture at the bottom of slide number 4, we have an eccentric force reduction followed by a concentric force production. You can think of this as lowering. Eccentric is like the lowering phase in a squat, and then concentric is going to be the raising phase in a squat. And you must maintain core stabilization through that squat. And also neuromuscular stabilization stabilizes those joints during that squat as well. But with plyometric training, as opposed to just you going up and down in a squat, what you do is you preload that squat. For instance, when you're lowering in a squat, jump, you're never going to lower yourself, pause, and then jump right back up. What you're going to do is you're going to maybe do an arm swing, sink really, really low, and utilize that stretch of the lower extremity muscles to then immediately project you higher out of that lowered position. You never like pause in between a squat movement when you're trying to jump as high as possible. So what that does is it stretches the muscles, specifically like the quadriceps and glutes, and allows them to like a rubber band, take that energy from that stretch and force it back into the movement, creating a higher jump. And you can try this right now. Go ahead and stand up, step off to the side of your desk, do a squat, pause at the bottom of the squat, try to jump as high as you can, and then do a continuous lowering squat and then jump utilizing the stretch of your muscles. And obviously the one with the utilization of the stretch is going to project you higher. So looking at slide 5, phases of plyometric exercise. So NASM specifically talks about 3 phases of plyometric training. You have an eccentric phase, which is the lowering or loading phase, you're preloading. You have an amortization phase, which is going to be the transition from the eccentric to concentric. And then you have the final phase, which is the concentric phase. The amortization phase, you want to be as short as possible. Basically, you want it to be non-existent. There shouldn't be a pause in between your eccentric and concentric contraction of during plyometric exercise. So the amortization phase is going to be pretty much 0 seconds, but they want to name that phase as the transition from eccentric to concentric training. And that's going to be like when you're lowering into your squat jump and you go down, that instant at which you start heading back up is going to be that switch, and that's the amortization phase. So clicking over to slide 6, the importance of plyometric training. So plyometric exercises enhance the excitability, sensitivity, and reactivity of the neuromuscular system. So what you're actually doing during plyometric training is you're training your nervous system to fire as fast as possible in order to project you higher. And specifically, NASM calls that increasing the rate of force production, which is power, increasing motor unit recruitment, which is the nervous system connecting to the muscular system, and then also increasing the motor unit firing frequency, the rate at which your nervous system can send a signal to tell the muscle to contract, and then also trying to get all of your muscle to contract at once, which is called motor unit synchronization. And the second bullet point, all movement patterns that occur during functional activities involve a series of repetitive stretch shortening cycles. And specifically, they're referring to plyometric training, utilizing the stretch of a muscle to then project more force in the concentric contraction. So clicking over to slide 7, designing a plyometric training program, you really don't want to get too crazy into plyometrics until your client has optimal balance, has optimal core strength, and has optimal coordination. And you can utilize some basic plyometric exercises like a simple, you know, squat jump to a stabilization hold. You can utilize something like that with your clients, but you really don't want to do that until you know that they most of their postural imbalances are eradicated or gotten rid of. Or if you don't want to do it until you really know that they are core and posturally and coordination-wise ready to do a plyometric activity. So although you can do it for all different types of populations, you would really want to focus on this when you're dealing with athletes or someone that you know has decent coordination and core control and neuromuscular control. So the fitness professional must ensure that proper muscle balance, core strength, stability, or core strength and stability and coordination are present before you really dive deep into plyometric training. So looking over to slide 8, exercise selection. So with plyometric training, it's important to make sure that the exercises are safe or done in a safe environment, meaning there's no like cars running by, or there's no, we'll say, sharp edges nearby, or if you're jumping on a box, making sure that that box is not too high and could injure the person's shins by scraping them by not completing that high enough jump. You want to make sure that it's done with supportive shoes, in a sense that you don't want to necessarily do it, or I would more or less use shoes that they would use in their sport. You want to make sure it's performed on proper training surfaces. A grass field, basketball court, or rubber track are great surfaces to do that on, or pretty much the surface that the athlete performs their activity on would be a great training surface. The main thing they want you to make sure is that you aren't doing it on like really rock solid tile or cement, because those really don't have any give and are going to put a little bit more of a vibrational pressure on the joints when you land, as opposed to giving a tiny bit. And then you want to make sure the exercise selection is progressive, meaning that you're progressing your clients through different phases of the OPT model as you take them through plyometric training. So looking at the slide 9, or the variables, you have planes of motion, so make sure you're focusing on all planes of motion with the training, sagittal, frontal, and transverse. Move to slide 2 if you aren't as familiar with those planes of motion. Hopefully by now you are. Different types of exercise equipment, such as tapes, or tape cones, boxes. You can do cone drills in the sense of jumping over cones, or tape drills, jumping from one piece of tape to the next piece of tape, or boxes, jumping on top of boxes, different things like that. And then also the amplitude of movement. Typically with plyometric training, you want it to be a all-out, extremely powerful movement at all times. But, you know, if they're getting introduced to plyometric training, you might reduce that amplitude of movement until they're more comfortable going all out. So looking at slide 10, you have levels of plyometric training. So there is different types of exercises, according to NASM, associated with different levels of the OPT model. For instance, stabilization is going to require a jump, some sort of jump, with a stabilizing element at the end that might last 3 to 5 seconds. Strength is going to be repeated jumps over and over and over, and power is going to be an super explosive, maybe 1 to 2 reps, or actually it goes all the way up to 10, but a little bit more emphasis on just huge, powerful movements. So looking over to slide 11, we have plyometric stabilization exercises. The one shown at the bottom is going to be a squat jump to stabilization. But the main thing with plyometric stabilization exercises is that you want to hold at the end of that movement 3 to 5 seconds. And you want these are designed to establish optimum landing mechanics, postural alignment, and reactive neuromuscular efficiency during the plyometric movements. So, for instance, the squat jump to stabilization is the female at the bottom doing a nice and high jump, and then she lands and holds that squat for 3 to 5 seconds. This is very good for beginners or people just starting to get into plyometric training. Clicking over to slide 12, you have plyometric strength exercises. These exercises involve a little more dynamic and eccentric and concentric movement, meaning that you're repeated continuously doing these exercises without that stabilization element, so it's going to take more coordination, more core strength, and more core endurance in order to maintain postural control through the plyometric strength exercises. Good, looking at slide 13, you have plyometric power exercises. The one shown at the bottom is going to be an ice skater, which is just basically going as fast and explosive as you possibly can within specific movements. And in the book, there is a list of more plyometric power exercises as well. But to read the first bullet point, exercises involve the entire muscle action spectrum and contraction velocity spectrum during integrated functional movements. That's going to be plyometric power exercises. So clicking over to slide 14, always with all types of training, you want to make sure that if they're beginners, you want to focus on stabilization, which is phase one. When they're more advanced, you can move into the strength phase, and then when they are extremely advanced, you can move into that power phase. So looking over to the slide 15 and program design, there's a few design parameters or acute variables associated with each phase of the OPT model. You can utilize these in your plyometric training, such as stabilization. You can do 5 to 8 repetitions of 1 to 3 sets with a little bit of rest, or 0 to 90 seconds of rest, and so on with strength and power throughout that. So clicking over to the final slide, or the slide 16, just to summarize everything, a plyometric training program is designed to enhance neuromuscular efficiency, increase rate of force production, which is power, and improve functional eccentric strength. A client must exhibit proper levels of total body strength, core strength, and balance, and also coordination or control, postural control, before progressing into plyometric training. And a proper plyometric training program follows the same systematic progression as the OPT model, which is stabilization to strength and then strength to power. So with plyometric training, as far as the test goes, there isn't too much that's going to be listed on the test from this chapter, but it is important to know that plyometric training can be used with different types of populations to encourage power, encourage cardiorespiratory work, and increase athletic ability or performance. Awesome, so go ahead and check out the audiobook lecture down below to follow along with the book, complete the assignment, and go ahead and do the quiz. Make sure you get 80% or better, and I'll see you at the next chapter.